You're listening to the Less Stress in Life podcast. Your hosts, Deb Timmerman and Barb Fletcher, are on a mission to help individuals and organizations manage stress and change. Together, they bring you real conversations, inspirational stories, and strategies to help move you from being stressed to feeling your best. Welcome to this bonus episode of the Less Stress in Life podcast. Today, we're talking to guest Dr. Scott Grant, a board-certified pediatrician who works in primary care and hospital pediatrics in Southeast Michigan. Professionally, Dr. Grant is interested in learning how childhood adversity and toxic stress affect children into adulthood and how parents can break the cycle of generational trauma to find joy in parenting and develop happier, healthier children. His passion for helping other dads find the joy in fatherhood and engage with the health and well-being of their kids led him to launch the Docs to Dads podcast. Welcome, Dr. Grant. We're so happy to have you.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. It's really a joy to be here.
So how did you become interested in the effects of childhood adversity and toxic stress on health?
First time that I heard about this issue, and I'll acknowledge front off, I know that you have a lot of folks that listen to your podcast that come from a variety of backgrounds, and pediatricians are a little late to the party on this. This is something we probably could have been talking about for a long time, but by the first time I heard about this, I was already a resident. I had started my pediatric residency in Phoenix, Arizona, and I came across a TED Talk by Dr. Nadine Burke-Harris talking about the effect of childhood trauma and this thing called toxic stress and how it was linked in adults to a variety of health problems that affect a huge percentage of people and are some of the most common causes for shortened life expectancy and for decreased quality of life. And I sort of thought this was like opening a magic box where like this is a thing that we can intervene on. And as a pediatrician, this is happening to people while they're children. And if we can identify this and intervene earlier, then maybe we can prevent some of these downstream effects. And even better, if we as pediatricians can invest in the relationship with the families that we're serving, maybe we can prevent some of these events from happening. Maybe we can help parents be more effective at buffering the effect of this trauma on their kids. And that was really sort of a transformational moment for me in the way that I thought about pediatric primary care in particular, and the way that we develop relationships with families.
So Dr. Grant, what do you see in your clinic that's evidence that there may be some increased stress affecting the child or the family?
Sure. So as a pediatrician, most of what we talk about, especially in those early primary care visits, we're focused a lot on growth, we're focused a lot on development, we're focused a lot on attachment with the family. And usually if there's a problem with stress or trauma in the family, in the younger kids, it's going to affect one of those three things. There's going to be some developmental delay, either because, you know, the parents are dealing with their own trauma and maybe aren't engaging in that developmental play and helping their kids sort of learn and meet those developmental milestones because they are dealing with the other things that are going on in their life. They're busy at work and they're also having to deal with their own traumas. As kids get older, it tends to present more with behavioral issues. And so sometimes this can be behavioral issues around potty training, for example. So issues with even seemingly benign things like constipation could be a sign that there's some trauma. And then certainly as we get into more extreme behavioral issues like temper tantrums and outbursts and these kinds of things can all be a sign that there might be something going on. Certainly some of that is normal for all kids. All kids have temper tantrums. So just because a kid is having a temper tantrum doesn't mean that there's some grave trauma that's happening. But taken in a larger context of how is the developmental progression going? Are there these other behavioral concerns that are happening? That's where we start to kind of see, you know, maybe we need to dig a little deeper into understanding what's going on with this family, right? And that's the key question, right? It's not what's wrong with you. And sometimes parents will come and they're like, I just don't know what's wrong with my child. They're very concerned, right? They come to us looking for answers. And sometimes the answer isn't what's wrong with them. It's what's happened to them. And sometimes it's what's happened to the parents as well. And so trying to be to sensitive to that and sort of dig into those things. And then the big one that we see quite a lot, of course, is the kids who are struggling in school. So if they make it to school age and have been exposed to this trauma and it hasn't been dealt with prior to that point, then sometimes this will present in school-aged kids as decreased attention or poor performance in school. And a lot of times they come to us looking for an ADHD evaluation, frankly. And sometimes in those situations, that's always a scenario where I want to dig a little bit deeper and try to understand, you know, when did this all start? Are there other sort of experiences, things that have happened to this family that might be affecting the way that this child is interacting with the school system, interacting with teachers and other authority figures, interacting with their parents when it's time to do homework or time to do their chores? All of these things can be signs that there might be something going on. Certainly in a lot of those scenarios, maybe there isn't, but it's always a sign to me that we should at least ask those questions. And if we care enough to ask, parents can then share with us the information that they have that might help us find that root cause and get them connected to resources and support that they might otherwise not be able to get their hands on.
That's a whole different way of thinking than the typical medical model of the assessment quick in the office, or maybe we have an assessment by a psychologist labeling that child with ADHD, putting them on the road to meds, blah, blah, blah. How has your approach been received by parents?
I think it's received very well. I think, you know, my ethic as a pediatrician is always that I'm here to serve the family. And so certainly some of these kids have been exposed to trauma and they have ADHD, right? These things are not mutually exclusive. They can stack up on top of each other. But the more we sort of say, let's take this problem that we're having and let's just talk about all the possible things that could be contributing to them, right? They don't have to be causes, but they can contribute. If you have ADHD, if you've been exposed to trauma, it's only going to make it worse. If you have anxiety and then you get exposed to trauma, it's only going to make it worse. So there's all these variables that play a role, right? We're complex social creatures. We don't exist in a vacuum of like, oh, I'm a kid who has ADHD and that, like, that's the only useful piece of information about me, right? And so I think when you take this approach of talking to families about all of the things that play a role in the kid's academic success or all the things that play a role in their behaviors at home, I think parents are more receptive to that because they're understanding that, like, they have a child who's complex and has a lot of needs, and you're recognizing that too as their pediatrician, and you're not just sort of slapping a label on them and giving them a pill and sending them on their way. And certainly there's a role for making a diagnosis so that kids can get plugged into support services that they need. That is not a bad thing. There is a role for medications and kids in addition to therapy and other support services to help them be successful in school and keep them out of trouble and those kinds of things. Like, that is not a bad thing, but we have to do all of these things. And as pediatricians and other healthcare providers, we can do all of those things at once. We don't have to do just one thing at a time. And I think helping parents understand that, like, yeah, we're going to send you home with the evaluation tool for mom to fill out or dad to fill out and the teachers to fill out and really try to get an understanding of what's happening at home and what's happening at school and what's happening in all the different environments that this kid is living in. But also we can ask about these other things that are going to play a role to see, even if they're not causing the problem, if there's ways that we can optimize it a little bit and just decrease the extra stress that that's putting on the kid that might be exacerbating their anxiety or exacerbating their depression or exacerbating their ADHD.
So we know that parents have lived a life as well, and definitely, they may have experienced, things that I think from time to time were ignored or maybe pushed under the carpet. How does that play into the potential challenges with the children you see?
I think that it's important to understand that the things that happen to us as kids stay with us. And some of that is, you know, ingrained in us in terms of, especially if it's our parents, once we become parents ourselves, our first and in some cases only example of how to be a parent is our parents. And so some of us, thankfully, had really good examples of what it is to be a parent and how to regulate our emotions and how to problem solve and help kids through navigate those challenges. But some of us didn't have that benefit. And so helping parents understand that the things that happened to them when they were kids are still with them and might still be affecting their health. And it certainly is going to affect the way that they interact with their own kids. And that gives them an opportunity, right? And so trying to turn this away from like a deficits-based thought and toward a strengths-based or a more positive approach is like, this is an opportunity for you to say, like, if you didn't have that good example of what it's like to be a good dad, in my case, or what it's like to be a good parent more generally, then you have a choice to make now. Of like, you can choose to do something differently, and there are resources that are available to you if you didn't have that. And even if you were, you know, like in my case, I did have a good dad. I had a dad who loved me very much and told me so very frequently, which is very uncommon. And so I'm very grateful to my dad for that. But even so, I can still learn and develop myself even more to know how to be available to my kids in that way. And so even if you didn't have that positive experience, there are resources that are available to help you do that successfully. But some of that starts with your own health, right? And so sometimes as parents, you know, just like in the airplane, we have to put our oxygen mask on before we put our kids' oxygen mask on. Like, you have to make sure that you're in a place that you can regulate your emotions effectively and that you are doing the necessary behaviors to maintain your own health and wellness. And sometimes I grant this is much, much easier said than done. But trying to find like, what are the resources? What are the supports in my community? Who are the people in my sort of tribe, my community around me that can help me in those moments that I have challenges so that I can put myself in the best possible position to then be available for my kids? Because if you're still sort of processing your own trauma, which you might be, and that's okay if that's where you're at, seeking help for that so that you then can put yourself in a position to be that sort of trusting, reliable care person for your kids so that they don't have to have that same trauma that they carry with them into adulthood the way that you had to, is all that any parent would want to give to their kids.
Dr. Grant, when we have trauma in early childhood, it can affect brain architecture and how we develop. Do parents ever ask you if their own trauma can be passed on to their children? And if they do, how do you navigate that subject with them?
You know, unfortunately, I don't get that question very often. It's a very interesting question. I would love to discuss that more with my patients. And certainly we know that when you're exposed to trauma, that is more than just skin deep. You know, one of the big takeaways from that TED talk that I mentioned at the beginning of our time together is that this actually affects, you know, the hormones that are released when you're exposed to trauma consistently over time change the way that our body reads the DNA that changes the way that our cells work. So there are like deep scientific cellular changes that happen in response to this trauma. And there's really interesting research that's been done in other mammals that show that if you expose a female mouse, for example, to consistent trauma, those genetic changes that happen, those what are called actually epigenetic changes, the way that we read our genes, not only affect that mouse, but if that mouse is pregnant, it affects the way that that mouse that's in utero will read their genes. And even deeper than that, if that mouse that's in utero happens to be a female mouse, then the eggs inside the baby also are affected. So this is like multi-generational just from that one exposure, right? So the answer is yes. You know, the things that happen to you and the things that happen to your parents can live on from generation to generation. But again, trauma, toxic stress, these things are not destiny. They're not things that have to happen to you. You know, they're just one more thing that unfortunately some folks in our society have to overcome a little bit more. But there are ways to overcome these things. It's not destiny. And so we can also use the science of resilience to say, like, how can we help parents develop the skills that they need to be able to emotionally regulate, even if that's not something that they grew up learning how to do, if it's not something they grew up knowing how to do? How can we teach parents then to be able to teach those skills to their parents, the same way that we encourage parents to teach kids how to read or teach kids what their colors are? We should also be encouraging parents to teach their kids the names of emotions, for example, right? So, you know, your kid will get to a point where hopefully they can express, like, I'm happy, or I'm sad, or I'm angry, or I'm frustrated. And these are more sort of complex topics that we can teach kids about. And then as they get a little older, I have a 3-year-old now. And so we're really working with him when he gets frustrated, when he gets angry, you know, a little sister takes a toy away from him or something like that, teaching him like how to regulate those things. And so we do that in a fun way, just the two of us, where I tell him, hey, I know you're frustrated. Can you blow me away? And he like takes a big breath and blows. And I like pretend that I'm getting like blown away. Just to like, one, it kind of breaks the moment of like, he's caught up in his emotion. I'm doing something silly that kind of distracts him from that. But also it's teaching him how to take those big breaths and blow them out, right? And there's a lot of ways to do this. You know, Sesame Street has a really great tool about belly breathing that you can use. I know a lot of parents rely on that. So these are learnable skills. And so even if you as a parent didn't grow up learning those skills, there are things that we can work with people on to help them be able to do it for their own kids.
So was that one of the driving forces for you to launch your own podcast? Can you share with us what that was and your whys?
Sure. I mean, I finished residency and was sort of out in practice for a little while, just working as a pediatrician in the hospital, in the clinic, doing the best I can. And then a moment came that sort of transformationally shifted the way that I think about the universe and my place in it, and the way that I think about serving my patients and their families. And that is that I became a father myself. And that has just really changed my life in so many positive ways. And in a podcast about stress, right, becoming a parent is like one of the most stressful things that can ever happen to you. But it is among the greatest sources of joy that I have in my life, my kiddos. And it really has been transformational for me. And so sometimes it can be really easy to kind of fall into the stress or fall into the overwhelm of like, I don't know what I'm doing. And now I have like this other human being that is reliant on me for their growth and development and all of these things that we've been talking about, right? And I have to teach them all these things. And I don't even know how to do any of these things, right? And so that was one of the big triggers for me to like just try to share some of this information that I've sort of gained over time as a pediatrician and my interest in stress and emotional regulation. And like, how can I support more dads out there who are interested in learning these kinds of things, and parents of all kinds. But I think dads in particular sometimes get forgotten in some of the discussions about parenting. Most of the sort of quote unquote parenting materials are more geared towards moms, and hopefully dads will come along for the ride. And so I really wanted to be intentional to speak from my own perspective, which is as a dad, and the joy that I feel from being a father, trying to like share that with as many other dads as possible and try to encourage as many dads out there to really plug into the health of their children and their well-being. And what are the things that I can do as a dad, even if I'm really busy and I'm working, and even if I didn't have a great example of what dad should do when I was a kid and I didn't have a dad who told me that he loved me, what are the things that I can be doing to engage in the health of my children? And not only that, that's something that I should do as like another thing on my to-do list, but something that like I look forward to doing and something that brings me joy. And if I can sort of share some of that mentality with as many dads as possible, that's another thing that'll bring me a lot of joy.
This is wonderful. I know that there are lots of people who have experienced the transformation of parenthood that you have, but many wouldn't have taken the action and the inspiration to bring all of these nuggets and deeper understanding to other dads that you have. So I'm most appreciative of that.
Dr. Grant, we're really excited to share your message and your podcast with our listeners. We are so grateful to you for joining us today to talk about this important topic of trauma and how we can break that cycle. So where do folks find your podcast?
Sure. So the Docs to Dads podcast, that's Docs, the number two dads podcast, can be found on all your major podcast players. You can also connect with the show through Instagram at Docs2DadsPod. And we also, knowing that dads sometimes are a little bit more active on places like LinkedIn, I also have a LinkedIn company page for Docs to Dads, which is another place that you can follow the show, and sort of through that page, you can also pretty easily find me and follow me. I share some stuff there about parenting and medical education and those kinds of things through that platform as well. Those are the best places to find me.
Well, we wish you all the best in this endeavor, and we'll put the connection points for all of those things that you mentioned in our show notes so it's easy for people to find. So until next time.
Ta-ta.
Thank you very much.
Less stress in life is possible. If you're new to this kind of thinking and would like to explore what's possible for you, we'd love to connect. You can reach us through our website at lessstressinlife.com. That's lessstressinlife.com.